When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Durant to LaMarcus Aldridge. He shoots at a 19-footer.
And he can do that in his sleep. That is his game. Pick and pop.
That has become a routine sight for the Brooklyn Nets this season. LaMarcus Aldridge knocking down mid-range jumpers. But when you're watching him play, it's almost easy to forget that not that long ago, it looked like his career was over.
After 15 years in the league, LaMarcus Aldridge announced he is retiring from the NBA, writing on social media that he played his last game on April 10th with an irregular heartbeat.
Today, we're joined by Alex Schiffer, who covers the Nets for The Athletic, to look at why the 36-year-old big man made the dramatic decision to return to the NBA and his surprising role as X Factor for the top team in the Eastern Conference. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. It's Friday, December 3rd, and this is The Lead. Alex, the last time the Nets took the floor, it was at home against the Knicks on Tuesday. Now, when the Mets and Yankees play, it's obviously called the Subway Series, but do you have a catchy name or a favorite name that already exists for the Nets-Knicks matchup?
A lot of people call it the Battle of the Boroughs, which makes sense. The Knicks play in Manhattan, the Nets play in Brooklyn, but I don't think that's been trademarked or really, you know, marketed that much. So, you know, it's just usually a crosstown meeting of sorts, and that's about as far as the branding goes.
I think you got to come up with something, get it stamped on there so that everyone starts talking about it. And then you can be like, I made that up.
That's a strong ask, Tiffany. I took one marketing class in college, exactly one. So we'll see, but keep the bar low for me.
Well, Brooklyn picked up their 15th win of the season in that game. They're now 15-6 heading into the weekend. What has stood out to you about how this team has played?
Yeah, I think two things stand out more than anything else. I mean, they've defended very well. They've surprised themselves in a sense. You know, they're a top 10 defense. And talking to people around the team and even Steve Nash, I don't think any of them saw that coming. And, you know, secondly, I mean, they're you know, tops in the East, as you said, but a lot of their losses are to teams that you would look at as their fellow contenders. You know, they've lost to Golden State. Charlotte's a playoff team. Miami. There's a lot of those types of losses. The Bulls give them a hard time in Chicago. So they don't really have a bad loss. But given that they kind of came into the season as the title favorites, even without Kyrie Irving, the fact that they're still struggling to beat those teams kind of makes you wonder what it's going to look like come postseason time.
Well, as for the guy we're planning to focus on today, LaMarcus Aldridge, how would you describe his role for this team?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed over the course of the season. You know, he started out coming off the bench as kind of that anchor for the reserves. You know, when Kevin Durant and James Harden were getting arrested, you'd see LaMarcus on the floor with a lot of guys that were more defense-oriented, and now, you know, he's played so well that he's starting alongside Kevin Durant and James Harden, and his numbers aren't what they were when he was a seven-time All-Star, but he's averaging 13.6 points per game, six rebounds, he's shooting 57% from the field and 38% from three, and he leads the league in mid-range percentage, which is in the low 60s, but yeah, he's become the X-factor for this offense in that they're 11-2 in games where he scores 10 or more points.
So we're here today to look at LaMarcus Aldridge's journey into retirement and back, and what ultimately made him decide to return to the league. So let's rewind to this past April. Your story on The Athletic started with this image of Aldridge at home after a Nets game. You know, he can't sleep, his heart is racing. Can you pick up the story from there?
Yeah, let's rewind it back even a little more than that. You know, so earlier that evening, the Nets had played the Lakers. And it was a weird game because, you know, the Nets didn't have their big three. It was Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And LeBron James sat out that game, but the Lakers still blew him out anyway. And LaMarcus Aldridge, he played decently.
Aldridge Oh, talk about nice footwork. Clearly, LaMarcus Aldridge still has plenty left in the tank.
You know, he shot 5-for-8 from the field, but you could tell that he wasn't really in a great groove of sorts. And, you know, after the game, you know, he addressed the media. He blames the loss on himself.
You know, it starts with me. I started out kind of passive tonight, and I think that was kind of contagious for everyone else. You know, it was hard for me to get going tonight, but no excuses. So
and, you know, he kind of came to elaborate later on that he has an extensive history with Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, which is a heart ailment that impacts the electricity of the heart that leads to an irregular heartbeat. He's had that since his rookie year, and he's had multiple surgeries over the years. And, you know, over the course of time, he's got doctors all over the country. They had kind of given him like a checklist for, okay, when your heart rate picks up or when it feels a little irregular, it's going to stabilize at some point. And against the Lakers, it just never did.
And so if you have this checklist in your mind of something you've dealt with your whole career and how to get out of it, and you do all three of those things and you don't get out of it, then you start freaking out like, oh, okay.
You know, he went back to his apartment in Brooklyn. His heart was still racing. And he just was up all night dealing with until he started texting team doctors until, you know, 7 at 8 a.m. And that whole experience spooked him.
And it's like all that research was kind of like flushed down the drain with one game because then I had never been in that position before. It was a very scary night for me, a scary experience during the game.
A few days later, he tweets that he was retiring, which was a bombshell to everybody at the time.
He went to the hospital for an irregular heartbeat and retired today. LaMarcus Aldridge says, it's time to put my health and family first.
So he retired from the NBA at age 36, and with 15 seasons under his belt, how did he start spending his time and how did he deal with that transition?
He was searching for himself. He made an appearance on NBA TV, you know, kind of see if he'd be interested in maybe getting on our side of things with the media. He dabbled in some real estate and commercial stocks. And he talked about, you know, with our own Sham Sharania in a sit down in June about battling depression. You know, he wasn't expecting to have to walk away like this. You know, he said he was having a lot of fun playing for the Nets. And obviously, you know, as we've discussed before on this podcast, I mean, the Nets came very close to the conference finals last year with Kevin Durant's shot over PJ Tucker. He said that was a hard series to watch.
Because I think if you're a competitor, you know, you always feel like, you know, you can help and you could try to make things better. So it was definitely tough watching it. And I did feel like, you know, if I was here, you know, I could have definitely done something.
Kyrie Irving got hurt in that series. James Harden came back injured in that series. It was really just the Kevin Durant show for most of that series against Milwaukee. So he said it was tough just watching Kevin carry the Nets without much of a supporting cast and wonder what could have been if he were healthy and able to help him.
So he's out of the game, trying to figure out what's next. When does he get that spark of an idea that maybe he could come back?
It's funny. I asked him this specific question, and he said he doesn't have an exact moment of realizing that he could play again. He described that whole period of his life that we've been touching on as a bit of a blur. And throughout all this, he was trying to find a way to just stay in shape while retired. So, you know, he would be trying to just get on a treadmill and see if he could just work out like, you know, you or I would without having any issues with his heart.
I just remember, like, each step I took, you know, it just felt better and better. You know, I felt more confident with, you know, each step that I passed. And, you know, I think...
And that's kind of what really led to his comeback was he was able to kind of slowly build from that without really any issues with doctors monitoring him at the same time.
But as you wrote, while everything was headed in the right direction with his health, it wasn't so simple as just, you know, snapping his fingers and getting back to the NBA. Can you tell us about some of the hurdles he had to clear there?
Yeah, so first he needed clearance both from the NBA's doctors and then the Nets sent their own to clear him. And then two of the bigger pushbacks he got was one from his agent, Jeff Schwartz of Excel, who kind of thought maybe, you know, how about you take a little more time on this, you know, really think it through. And then they also, you know, the Nets general manager, Sean Marks, he said to him, you know, why would you do this?
But I tried to talk him out of it. You know, I said, why, you don't need this. Why would you come back? You know, and I think it's important to see the conviction.
Wanted to see the passion on display and the urge. And not that he was just bringing this guy back to kind of feel like he could do it again, but also, you know, that he wants it as bad as they want it for him. And that's exactly what he got. And that's why he's back with the team.
And I'm still capable of helping this team win. I still can bring something to the table. So that's why, because I still love the game and I want to play.
So LaMarcus Aldridge gets cleared to return, officially rejoins the Nets, and his season started a little slowly, but you wrote about a big milestone moment in late October. Help us relive what happened in the second half against the Pacers and why it was so significant.
Yeah, so when LaMarcus retired, he was 49 points shy of the 20,000 point mark. And prior to him, only 47 people had reached that pinnacle. And Kevin Durant talked a bit about how when LaMarcus retired, he realized how close he was to that. And he's like, man, you know, he came so short, you know, and that ate at him a bit. And I'd actually asked him a few games before if he knew how close he was to 20,000 points. And he said, you know, he wasn't really keeping track of that. What he didn't say at the time was the rest of the team was, and kind of reminding him on it. So he was conscious of it. So, you know, here's LaMarcus in the huddle against the Pacers.
Friday Night Hoops at Barclays Center. Out of the timeout, Craig met by Durant. That's how
he told Kevin Durant, you know, I think I'm a basket away. And Kevin Durant said, you know, I want to pass you. I want to have the historic assist on it. Pacers defense had other plans. They kind of blitzed Kevin, and he had to get rid of the ball.
Durant gives it up. Carter, mismatch. Aldridge, really feeling it. LaMarcus Aldridge has now cracked the 20,000-point plateau in his career. 48.
Yeah, he was laughing on his way down the court. He was kind of pointing at Kevin, like, didn't go the way we thought. But, you know, here we are.
Came out of retirement to return to this team. Felt there was unfinished business. That's been a mantra for this organization, and gets to experience that. 20,000 points. Less than 50.
He's talked about since his time back how, you know, after having the game taken away from him in such a unique, sudden circumstance, he has tried to, you know, live in the moment more.
I'm trying to, you know, just soak in the moments more, you know, enjoy the camaraderie and, you know, just, you know, being here.
And I think, you know, when you see him laughing at Kevin Durant running down the court after that shot against the Pacers, that really kind of comes out.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Well, Alex, last time we had you on the show, it was to talk about the latest on Kyrie Irving. We're basically a quarter of the way through the regular season now. Where do things stand there? Are there any updates, or has it just been crickets?
Not really. I mean, you know, we've asked Steve Nash every few weeks, and he'll just say they keep in touch and they don't really talk about basketball. So that seems to have become his go-to line when asked about him. Kyrie's kind of flown under the radar. No one has publicly shared anything about what might be up with him, what shape he's in, if he's working out. And his teammates haven't really divulged if they're talking to him or what that interaction's like.
Does it seem like the Nets are expecting him back at all? Or does it seem like they've kind of moved on?
I think it's definitely out of sight, out of mind for them right now. You know, it, their stance seems to be, you know, if he wants to come back, great. You know, they've kind of, I don't know if drawing the line is the word, because, I mean, it is the city mandate of being vaccinated to get in a Barclays Center. So they've just kind of let their stance be known. He hasn't been shy with where he stands, and it just seems like that really hasn't changed.
Well, we did the big picture flyover of the Nets' 15-6 start to the season earlier, but focusing a little bit more, is there a glaring weakness you see on this Nets team?
Yeah, a few, actually. I mean, their depth has already been tested. You know, Joe Harris is out, one of the league's top three-point shooters for, you know, it looks like up to 2 months after just undergoing ankle surgery this week. Nick Claxton, who's arguably their best defender, has missed time due to a non-COVID illness, and that really seemed to impact his conditioning. He's still ramping up to get back with them. They're not a very good rebounding team. They're ranked towards the bottom of the NBA in rebounding. They rank towards the top of the NBA in three-point shooting percentage, but they don't really have a lot of healthy shooters right now. So they only really rely on a handful of players. And if an injury happens to any of them, especially without Kyrie, obviously, they're in more trouble. And if one of Kevin Durant or James Harden has an off night, that's not often, but if it were to happen, who steps up is kind of a bit of a guess at times.
And finally, Alex, coming back to LaMarcus Aldridge, when it's time for him to retire, can he do it? Or does he need to win a championship to feel like he accomplished what he set out to do, and then he can feel content retiring?
I mean, I think he should already be proud of what he's just gone on to do. You know, I mean, coming back from a heart issue, you know, he's made over $200 million his career, 7 All-Star appearances, you know, a Hall of Fame caliber resume. I mean, no one would have blamed him if he retired, given the reasoning he had for it. But I think right now, you know, he's happy, he's healthy, and he's still shown that he has something to give an NBA team. So, you know, it might be a while before we're answering that question.
Well, thank you so much, Alex, for telling us this story.
Thank you for having me.
You can read Alex Schiffer's full story about LaMarcus Aldridge and follow his coverage of the Nets at theathletic.com. Thanks for listening this week. Our senior producer is Matt Strout. Production and fact-checking by Ian Hurley. Production assistance by Julia Karen and Megan Coyle. Sound design and mixing by Aaron May, Joe Richardson, and Mark Nieto. Brooks Varney is our outreach coordinator. Our executive producer is Anders Kelto. The show is executive produced by Marshall Louie and Jen Sargent for Wondery. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. See you next week. To hear more of The Lead, you can follow us on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Or to listen to us on your Alexa-enabled device, just say, Alexa, play The Lead podcast.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Winning is an everyday mindset. And we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.